Mark Thompson, what's your assessment of how that investigation is going?
Well, obviously people will have heard today the PSNI making a call for witnesses. And from the family's point of view, and we will work closely with the families along with Niall Murphy of KRW Law, and we've done so for the past number of years. In some senses, there's a weariness to it and there's a cynicism to it. And if I can maybe put it in the context that we did have a witness that came forward a number of years ago and who identified the driver of the getaway vehicle. And that witness, her details were provided by a serving police officer to a relative of one of the key suspects involved in the murder. So from that perspective, and this is detailed in the initial flawed ombudsman's report, and even though it's flawed, that was in it, and that's referred to as Police Officer 11. So from that perspective, you know, people see today's call for witnesses to come forward as a bit cynical. There's also the context of the senior investigating officer refusing to cooperate with the ombudsman, and then more recently, you know, Michael Maguire launching judicial proceedings in relation to the failure of the chief constable to provide in a number of cases, which this is one of the key cases, the intelligence. So in terms of the police calling today for witnesses, I would clearly say it's a matter of the officers investigating this, walking across the corridor and rapping the door of C2, the former special branch, and saying, OK, give us the information, because that's where it sits, that's where it rests. And we can't have people who are investigating this determining what evidence that will come forward or won't come forward, as Michael Maguire said. So, you know, it's a nonsense in that sense. And I think that underlines and crystallises the fact that we need a process to deal with the past, and the implementation of the Haas proposal, which is a compromise in how we deal with the past, but removes it from policing. Because at the previous policing board meeting, and I was there, you know, it's very clear that the PSNI aren't in a position to deal with the legacy of the past, because there is a corporate body of the RUC within the heart of that. And that's where the problem rests. The control that people have and the grip that they have within policing, and those people that want within policing to deal with this, are powerless when they move the act to try and act in the right fashion around this. So it has to be taken away from policing and dealt with separately.
Well, you'd be aware there are hundreds of cases that are unsolved in the Troubles legacy. Would you be confident that they all can be dealt with in some sort of a framework?
Well, I would, yes. I think we have a template of that. I think we had it when the Eames Bradley Consultative Group published their report, and then we've had that template again in Haas. So I think the template is there. It's the political will from both governments to kind of move on this and implement it and take it forward. And there are people with vested interest that don't want to see the past being dealt with in a manner which is inclusive and across the board. They want it dealt with partially and which suits them. So, and that's not going to work. So we do need to get a process. But for the families of Loughlin Island, they want truth and they want justice and they want accountability, and they're entitled to that. And what they've faced, not only in a community that, you know, as Margaret has outlined, that this was visited upon, this, the world watched this happen. You know, the Taoiseach and Bill Flynn stood in the Giants Stadium at the beginning of this match, and word came to them that Loughlin Island had been attacked. And Loughlin Island is the ancestral home of Bill Flynn. He's a huge connection there. He's been in and out of O'Toole's pub down the years. He's familiar with that community. And in some senses, he was an architect of the peace process. And I think in the context of what unfolded in Loughlin Island and in many other incidents, these were driven by the intelligence services, these attacks. And it was about trying to break the will and break the peace process. And people clearly see the context of the attack in that fashion. So this is a much broader, much more sinister attack. It isn't the case of just walking in and picking a pub. It was quite strategic. It was quite part of a broader program in terms of what the intelligence services were up to in using loyalism. Not only that, they armed them. And we do know that there are informants involved in this. The people that supplied the car is an informant. One of the drivers is an informant. One of the gunmen is an informant. DNA evidence.
Well, the intelligence services would reject your
well,
assessment of it.
So. Of course they would. But then, if they're going to reject my assessment of it, why aren't the PSNI going to hand over the intelligence to the ombudsman? Why aren't they going to open up for a transparent, accountable process of inquiry into it? If they have nothing to hide, surely it's in their interest too to have an open, transparent, and accountable process for the families, denying the families justice after all the evidence and all roads leads to the intelligence services and special branch, and not only designing this and constructing this killing, but covering it up afterwards. And that is the fact, and we can't escape that. And if they have a different opinion of that and they're saying that's wrong, well then why not implement an independent process of inquiry? And they won't do it.
Well, obviously there is an active court case at the moment of the between the police ombudsman and the chief constable, so we'll keep an eye on that. But Mark Thompson and Margaret Ritchie, thank you very much for talking to us this morning.